next on the 5 o'clock report.
The judge believes that some portions of the affidavit can be released.
We're deciding whether to indict former President Trump.
We made some pretty public mistakes.
Some of the pictures that I saw were beyond disturbing.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
A split decision. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster. A federal judge says the affidavit used to raid former President Trump's South Florida home shouldn't be sealed. In a ruling today, though, the judge told the Department of Justice to file a redacted affidavit by next Thursday before the unsealing takes place.
The judge believes that some portions of the affidavit can be released, but he also understands the government's point here that some of these redactions will need to be made. And as you mentioned, he is going to give the government a little bit more time here to try to figure out what they would like to stay sealed and what they think can be made public.
Fox News' Mark Meredith. The DOJ fought to keep the entire affidavit sealed, arguing that the Trump investigation is still in its early stages. Law professor Jonathan Turley says he expects that redaction process is going to wind up being rather one-sided.
This is going to be different because he's not going to have the input of an adversarial lawyer. He's going to have what is very likely to be a very aggressive redaction proposal from the Department of Justice, and he's going to have to eyeball it and make a decision. I just don't buy that.
Former FBI supervisory agent James Galino says it's clear the government's case is all about trying to nail Donald Trump.
Pretty much said, if you read between the lines, we are investigating former President Trump. We're deciding whether to indict former President Trump, and if you release this affidavit, it will blow our case. The other side will know what we're doing.
FBI agents raided Trump's residence on August 8th. A busy day for Team Trump. Former chief financial officer for the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg, pleading guilty today to more than a dozen felonies. NBC News investigative reporter Tom Winter.
He answered the questions in a very muted voice. It was frankly very difficult to hear him, and I was only about 10 or 12 rows behind him in court.
Weisselberg, looking at 5 months behind bars, his plea comes with multiple conditions, including being required to testify at the company's trial if he is called to do so. CBS News legal correspondent Rebecca Roifies.
He is not going to implicate Trump or any of Trump's family members in this scheme, but he will implicate the company, and that's serious.
Roifies says that could amount to a death penalty for the Trump company. CDC 2.0.
We made some pretty public mistakes, and we need to own them.
Some candid admissions today from CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, admitting they pretty much botched significant portions of their COVID pandemic response. She says they're going to work hard to do a better job moving forward.
We need to incentivize a commitment to communication at all levels, not just to our academic and scientific and public health partners, but to communicate to the American people.
Infectious disease expert Dr. Celine Gounder tells CBS News change was definitely needed.
One is having better real-time access to data. So data dashboards that really give you a sense of what's happening, where you live in real time. The other one is keeping up with 21st century communications approaches. So that includes things like social media all the way down to in-person town hall events.
The course correction comes as federal health officials deal with new threats from monkeypox and polio. More than half the respondents in a new poll think there's an invasion at the U.S.-Mexico border. The NPR Ipsos survey found an overwhelming sentiment, particularly among Republicans, that the U.S. is experiencing an invasion at the southern border. Republicans also identify illegal immigration as a more serious problem than do Democrats. This comes as another four buses of illegal migrants arrived in New York City, bringing the total to 15 over the past 2 weeks. Former Border Patrol Chief Ron Vitello says it's an effective strategy to spread out the burden.
The mayor in New York City is complaining about 4,000 people. When we're talking about 4,000 to 7,000 people every single night coming across our southwest border.
Mateo says if the mayors of New York or D.C. have a problem with the busing, they should be contacting the White House, not Texas. Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson says he's grateful the disciplinary process is over and is appreciative of the support he's gotten from the Cleveland Browns organization. Today, he was handed an 11-game suspension over allegations made by 26 women that he committed sexual misconduct or assault during massage appointments. The battle over what books should and should not be in school libraries continues around the country. In Keller, Texas, upset parents got several books pulled. Concerned mom Allison Gross started the campaign after seeing a book entitled Gender Queer, a Memoir.
Some of the pictures that I saw were beyond disturbing. Just to think that our kids have access to that, I mean, it was pornography.
Also removed from school library shelves there for review over being controversial, the Bible. doing some back-to-school shopping today? Well, then you know just how pricey that can be. The National Retail Federation estimates families with children in elementary through high school plan to spend an average of $864 on school items this time around. Buffalo State College economics professor Fred Floss tells WGRZ.
If food is now taking a lot more out of your budget, if your rent's gone up by a lot, then having the extra money to buy those things for your children is just that much harder.
School supply costs up about $15 compared to this time last year.
Whoa! Oh! What a big jam! Wallace took it in his hands and said, up, up, and away!
Every basketball fan knows that voice. Legendary sportscaster Dick Vitale, who got some wonderful news.
Dr. Rick Brown called and he said, Dick, you're no longer in remission. You are cancer-free.
The 83-year-old ESPN basketball analyst has been battling lymphoma and melanoma. He's been a college basketball announcer for ESPN for over 40 years. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, arraignment for the suspect in the Rushdie attack, a pastor tackling violence in Rochester with a unique method, and protecting PA seniors from financial fraud.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The disturbance that has produced days of unsettled weather here is going to move away. So our call for tonight, a shower in spots early, maybe thunder. Otherwise, it'll end up partly cloudy tonight. Low temperatures, 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm. High temperatures, 80s. Saturday, partly sunny, warm. Chance of an afternoon thunderstorm for some high in the 80s. A couple of showers and thunderstorms are likely on Sunday.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. The suspect charged with stabbing author Salman Rushdie being held after pleading not guilty. Hadi Matar entered his plea to charges including second-degree attempted murder. Rushdie was stabbed last Friday before giving a lecture at Chautauqua Institute in western New York. Local lawmakers joined the New York State Correctional Officers and Police Benevolent Association outside of the Elmira Correctional Facility on Wednesday to call for the repeal of the Humane Alternatives to Solitary Confinement, or HALT Act.
HALT needs to be repealed. Since it was put in place starting April 1st, there's been a significant increase in violent crimes of assaults on other inmates and assaults on staff.
Republican State Senator Tom O'Mara of Big Platte says the numbers tell the story.
Year to date, assaults on staff are up 23%. Inmate on inmate assaults are up 28%.
The law was implemented in April after being approved by the Cuomo administration. New York State expanding eligibility for college financial assistance. Governor Hochul announcing today that students no longer have to be full-time to be eligible for the state's tuition assistance program.
Part-time students matter. We have to lift you up so you can be part of the not just the American dream, but the New York dream that is far sweeter.
She says students with as few as 6 credits may now qualify. Tackling Rochester's violent crime issues is the goal of a spiritual renewal event being held at the city's Frontier Field this weekend. The event by United in Healing Through Hope of Monroe County will feature local pastor and longtime professional stuntman John Mercury Morgan jumping a bicycle through flames. He tells WROC the stunt is just a way to draw attention to the importance of families.
The family is the core of our whole society. Moms and dads, sons and daughters, spiritual moms and dads. It's so important. It's the glue that holds our whole society together. So family is the key.
Organization founder Clay Harris says he has high hopes the family-friendly event will bring profound and transformative hope for families who have been impacted by violence.
We have to reconnect and plant the seed of love, peace, and faith. And that's what this revival is going to be about. Because it needs to be not just transformed locally, but state and national, because it's a national problem.
That event slated for Sunday from 5 to 9 at Frontier Field in Rochester. Pennsylvania now, state officials touting a program designed to combat financial exploitation of the state's elderly residents. Modeled after a pilot program, the state now has a financial abuse specialist team to help aging-related agencies protect seniors. PA Secretary of Aging Robert Torres telling WENY.
Based on a sample of 22 cases where we exercise enhanced coordination and early intervention, nearly $3 million in assets were able to be protected from further exploitation. And during the pilot program period, 154 cases were identified and flagged for follow-up of what we would call potential exploitation.
Torres says financial exploitation ranks in the top three types of elder abuse. According to the FBI, Pennsylvania scam victims over the age of 60 lost over $77 million in 2021, which is more than three times the amount reported the previous year. Another cold case solved in Pennsylvania using new DNA technology.
Mark, the body of 26-year-old Anna Kane was found in Perry Township north of Reading in October of 1988. Now, Pennsylvania State Police say the homicide case has been solved thanks to DNA on an envelope the suspected killer mailed to a newspaper 2 years after the death. New genetic genealogy by Parabon Nanolabs determined Scott Grimm of Hamburg, PA, as a suspect. Investigators found DNA on multiple items of Kane's clothing that matched genetic material on the letter and similar letters mailed by Grimm from a harassment case in 2002. Troopers say Grimm died of natural causes in 2018. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. On-field action is underway at the Little League World Series in Williamsport. The competition, which started Wednesday, brings 10 regional champs from the U.S. and 10 regional champs from across the world to compete for the 12-and-under baseball title. All games running through August 28th will be shown live on either ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2. Pennsylvania champion Hollidaysburg will play its first game in the Little League World Series tonight. Pennsylvania Republican U.S. Senate candidate Dr. Mehmet Oz has been struggling in the polls and on social media, thanks to a recent rambling post which included the mispronunciation of a popular grocery store chain, a mistake he later attributed to campaign fatigue. Former Senator Rick Santorum of PA tells Spicer & Company Oz needs to do better, but still believes in him as a capable candidate.
Most of his campaign team, in fact, I think almost all of it, is from outside of the state, and they just don't know the state, and as a result, he's not connected. And I think he can. I think he's a good candidate, just objectively, and I think he'll be a good senator.
Santorum says Oz just hasn't been effective at getting his message out. And the home of the banana split is set to celebrate the sweet treat. Latrobe, Pennsylvania, will hold the three-day Great American Banana Split celebration starting tomorrow. David Doc Strickler is credited with inventing the banana split at Tassel Pharmacy in the city east of Pittsburgh back in 1904. Your nightly market report is next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks were relatively flat today, retailers continuing to be in focus. Kohl's reporting earnings below expectations today, while BJ's Wholesale outperformed. Initial jobless claims came in lower than estimates. Existing home sales, though, for the month of July plummeted, which most analysts attribute to more expensive mortgages due to higher interest rates. Oil today moving back to above the $90 a barrel mark. The Dow rising 18 points, the S&P 500 adding 9, and the NASDAQ was up 27. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
All right, thank you, Dave. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
It's easy to come up with excuses, especially about budgeting. I'm Rob West with your MoneyWise Minute. We've probably heard them all, like, my job's secure, so I don't have to budget. But no job is bulletproof. Or, it won't happen to me, but bad things happen to good people all the time. Here's another. I stink at math, so I can't budget. Sorry, you don't have to be Albert Einstein to set up a spending plan. The free MoneyWise app gives you three different ways to set up a budget, and it does the math for you. Download it wherever you get your apps and search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. Everyone eventually gets around to living on a budget. The trick is to set up a plan for spending wisely before you're forced to by overwhelming debt. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a pearl of good, if not great, price.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The disturbance that has produced 3 days of unsettled weather here is going to move away. High pressure will build in with prospects for mainly sunny Friday. Heading into the weekend, it looks quite warm. The sunshine giving way to an increasing chance for some showers and storms. So our call for tonight, a shower in spots early, maybe thunder. Otherwise, it'll end up partly cloudy tonight. Low temperatures, 50s and low 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm, high temperatures 80s. Saturday, partly sunny, warm, chance of an afternoon thunderstorm for some high in the 80s. A couple of showers and thunderstorms are likely on Sunday.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. Finally, at 5, unlike the biblical pearl of great price, an analogy to salvation found in Matthew 13:45-46, the purple pearl that a Phoenixville, Pennsylvania couple found in their quahog clam dinner at a Delaware restaurant recently was rare, though not unheard of. Scott Overland described the discovery to WCAU-TV.
At first, my wife thought it was like a bead or maybe one of those dot candies on the paper. We thought a chef dropped something in there. And then as we were looking at the shell, we saw this little indentation on the shell inside the clam where it was growing. And so we figured it was probably something from inside of the clam.
Indeed it was. Ballard Clams and Oysters spokesman Tim Parson says both oysters and clams are known to produce pearls. He says he hears of diners making similar discoveries two or three times a year, usually over a dental clam after unwittingly sinking their teeth into one. Overland says he's planning to have that stone appraised, though it probably won't be enough to quit his day job over. Top end for a purple pearl is about $1,000. Still, that's a lot of clams. Well, I see we're out of time. That's the world we live in for Thursday, August 18th, 2022. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.